A good the Ner Shabbos. We about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shia number 151. We're talking about self-esteem, and one aspect of healthy self-esteem is they generally know how to control anger, and they're generally not angry. Although someone may say if they have a certain pride, they would be prone to anger, but very often people who have self-esteem in a healthy way and understand their true nature, they'll be less likely to fall into unhealthy anger. Anger is something that the Rambam says you need to go to the extreme. Very often, it immobilizes a person. And it takes many, many forms. Sometimes it's rage or hostility or striking out at someone or even glowering silence. It's not just simple annoyance or irritation. It immobilizes a person. It looks like he's or she is empowered, but in reality, it's paralyzing them. What we need to do, and it's very hard to work through this if someone has an anger problem. There's a whole Sefer Erech HaPayim on someone who works through their anger. So it's hard to believe that it's not a automatic reaction, but the truth is, if you go deep into it, it is indeed a choice, as well as a habit. It's a learned reaction to frustration, in which you behave in ways that you would rather not. Severe anger is a form of insanity. The Mesillas Yesharim says that openly. You lose your seichel when you experience extreme anger. You are insane whenever you're not in control of your behavior. That's ein adam ayvar veira ela nichnas by ruach shtus. That's what the Chazal mean. You have bechira, obviously you're accountable, so you're not mamash shaita, otherwise you wouldn't have bechira and you wouldn't get punished. But it is a certain level of choosing to behave in a way that allows that insanity type of aspect to come into you, the ruach shtus. Because you're not in control of your behavior, or you choose to get to the point where you're not in control of your behavior. So anger is really temporary insanity. It seems sometimes that there's a psychological reward for anger. We're going to talk about those temporary benefits that you may feel you have when you're angry. But ultimately, those are really very short term. And there is really no true psychological reward for anger. Anger is debilitating. It has a physiological damage. It could cause hypertension and ulcers and rashes and heart palpitations and insomnia and fatigue and even heart disease. Ravigdor Miller added diabetes. It could exacerbate diabetes. Sometimes the diabetes could create irritability and anger that goes too. It could happen that way. But very often it's the anger excessively that triggers that as well. Anger breaks up love relationships. Anger interferes with normal, healthy communication. It leads to guilt. It leads to depression. It just gets in your way. And even though we learn sometimes, you say, keep it bottled up and it's healthier. And indeed, an expression of anger is not good to suppress it either. It's healthier to express it than to suppress it. But even healthier is not to feel that anger at all. So when you feel the anger inside, you can't lash out, but you have to sometimes express it or channel it in a certain way. Sometimes when you quiet, the anger will dissipate. So you have to know when it works, when it doesn't work. But very often it's like this. You need to recognize basically that sometimes you hold on to anger because you think it helps you cope in life and it helps you deal with problems or problematic people. Now, sometimes the anger or the act of anger externally is very beneficial. For example, if you have a 2-year-old child playing on the street and they may get hurt and you want to teach them they don't cross the street, they have to stop and they understand where the sidewalk is, and they don't stop, whether they see a red light, green light, whatever it is, until their mother or father is with them. And sometimes they slip. They were warned and warned, and you're training them, and they may, you know, and they start going that way, and it looks like they're going to go in there, and you express extreme anger, or you raise your voice. That's an excellent strategy in that situation, because you are teaching the child to take care of themselves, even at two, the registers. No, you know, real screaming out loud that you can't pass this line, or you have to stay far away from it. It's their safety. But when it comes to a point where you're genuinely upset and you're getting flushed and your heartbeat's increasing and you're slamming things around, then you're getting yourself immobilized. You're in a prison. So you can use strategies to reinforce appropriate behavior. And sometimes the Masil Sharma uses the words kas upon him, external kas, on the outside. But not kas alev, not the internal. Don't take the internal hurt with it. That's very, very important. So, for example, one can say to themselves, this behavior she is exhibiting is dangerous to her. I don't want to make her see that playing in the street will not be tolerated. So I'll raise my voice to demonstrate my strong feelings about it, but I won't go around being mad. The same applies with a Rebbe, with a Talmud, and a mother to a parent in different situations, and so on. Because very often, if you actually really show anger, then they'll feed on it. Then they'll feed on it. Then, because the mother will be constantly upset at her children's repetitious bad behavior, and it seems that the more upset she gets, the more they misbehave. And she punishes them and sends them to the room and screams constantly. And loud voices are the only thing she knows. And eventually she's an emotional wreck, drained. And in reality, the irony is because it can't work to change other people. It actually intensifies the other person's desire to control the angry person. Now they're thinking, these children, let's see what sets off mommy. Let's see what riles her up. So anger, when it's really felt, is not a healthy thing. It doesn't help. It usually backfires. It almost always backfires. Because anger, when used in any relationship, will almost always encourage the other person to continue to act as they have been before. You could scream and they'll get scared temporarily. You may be able to shut them off for a while. You yell at your wife, Khalil, or at your husband, you will get them to submission into their better behaviors, but it will backfire. The resentment will come back and they'll rebel. Sooner or later, it's going to backfire. Common causes of anger. It happens all the time, and we see ourselves immobilized. It could be from mild upset to a blind rage, and it's mamish like a cancer. It spreads human interaction, and we have to uproot it. So here are some common forms of anger. Anger in a car, drivers screaming at each other, at other motorists, about everything. Pulse racing behavior resulting in someone going too slow or too fast or not signaling or signaling improperly or changing lanes or a number of mistakes. And there's a great deal of anger that's felt there. Traffic jams is a key signal for attacks and anger of instability. Drivers yelling at passengers and swearing at the cause of the delay. All of this is based on the single thought is, this shouldn't be happening, and because of this, I'm going to get upset and help others choose unhappiness as well. You know, there's a certain narcissism there. Also, you're in a traffic jam, and you think you're the only one that should be able to go through everyone else and no one else. So that's a common anger that happens in cars while traveling. Another anger that takes place is in competitive games. Whether it is tennis or chess or whatever it may be, sports. Milchamto Shel Torah could create anger. Now, sometimes it is a positive thing. We say that they fight with each other, looks like they're enemies, but they really become best friends. So there is a positive aspect, but really, really, one has to be very, very careful. You know, Sure, Rav Pam with his chavrusas had milchamtos shel Torah, and others did. Everyone had, Rav Sheps, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, used to get very excitable also. And you saw it was totally, totally L'shem Shemaim. He had no real kas. But other people could fall into, in their learning, to feel real kas, and they have to be very careful. If they're prone to this, they can't use this milchamto shel Torah as an excuse. They could really hurt their harusis very, very badly. They thinking they're arguing in a svara and Torah, but in reality, you crossed the line already. So you have to be very careful. Out of place anger. You know, you decide that this bicycle rider, while you're driving, shouldn't be there, or the pedestrian shouldn't be there, and you want to drive them off the road. You won't actually run him over, but you'll make these jerks with the car to scare him, and so on and so forth. Passive-aggressive things I saw with driving, I once was prone to that too. For example, if you're driving, I did this once, I'm not proud of myself, but when I was driving along the street and there was a car behind me, honking me and tailing me, clearly wanting to make that light before it turns red. It wanted me to cross it over while it's still green or yellow so that he could cross, but he was really on my tail and harassing me there. So I did the reverse there, which wasn't wise, because I really could have made that green light and crossed over. I slowed down to a creeping 2 miles an hour and purposefully missed the light. Now, thank God he didn't come out with a crowbar, you know, just honked at me and yelled. What I look back at, I'm looking back at that right now, thinking about it, that is unhealthy anger. It's just unhealthy anger in a passive-aggressive way. You know, in the right mindset, what I would have done is unfortunate for this person. And if I was able to go through the green, I go through the green. If I wasn't, I wasn't. And just go with your regular traffic rules accordingly and not let the guy who tailed me and harassed me affect my behaviors. So here I didn't actually yell and scream or do anything crazy like that, but passive-aggressively, I missed the light on purpose to delay him. Anger about taxes, anger about tardiness of others, why they aren't on time, or the sloppiness of others, or the disorganizations of others. Sometimes you have anger on inanimate objects, basically. You hit your foot against something, or your hammer hits your thumb, and you scream. Now, when you scream, it's fine. You scream in pain, that's therapeutic. Ouch, you yell. Sometimes that helps get the pain out and you feel okay. But rage at yourself, is a problem. You had once, there was a pitcher that got so mad and bashed their hand against the wall, and they were out of commission with their pitching for a month because of that. Anger over loss of objects. When you lost your keys, you lost your wallet. It's very, very distressful. I'm not saying it's not an Nisayon, but the anger could be very, very debilitating. So we're going to just talk about this, because if someone really has healthy self-esteem, they're not going to be angry about these type of things. Because they are above that in a certain way. They have a certain sense of calm self, that they're not threatened by these disturbances, and they're willing to just forego it and be calm about things and feel good about themselves as a result as well. Have a wonderful Shabbos.